Let's get on to one of the biggest stories of the day. And the new Attorney General, Vicky Chapman, is hoping to make good on her promise to ban criminals from voting in elections. The ban would apply to criminals serving prison sentences of 3 years or more, including those on home detention. We've got a couple of perspectives on this. Firstly, let's go to the Attorney General herself. Vicky Chapman joins me. Hi, Vicky.
Yeah, good afternoon.
So does this bring us in line with other states?
Basically, it does. The Commonwealth have for a long time denied those, you know, committing felonies, that serious offences, from actually having the opportunity to vote. The concept being that if you're seriously, convicted of a serious crime, then you ought to forfeit the right to vote. South Australia hasn't done that. We made an election commission to do it, a commitment to do it, and having presenting the bill this week in the Parliament to do just that.
Why 3 years? Why not more? I mean, 10, you know, that seems like a very serious crime. 3 years, I guess, could be, you know, a fraud or a drink driving charge. I mean, is that too low?
Well, we feel that that's reasonable. The public expect that for an incarceration offence, that is a jail term, it needs to be fairly serious to have a to actually get a jail term. But secondly, 3 years is usually a pretty serious offence. So, yes, we think that's within the order, and other states have done the same. We have included home detention on that. I mean, home detention is a form of incarceration, and that should be included.
Former Labor Minister Paul Kiker said when it was proposed earlier that it would be a backward step and have a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. How would you respond to that, Vicky?
Well, interestingly, of about the 3,000 people who are in prison, this would affect about 1,400 on our rough estimate at this point of those in the profiling of those in our adult prison. Only about 150 people from prison actually voted in the last election. So there's a fair level of disinterest in any event, it seems. To the extent of, you know, wanting to actually exercise their right to vote. So there's certainly a higher profile of Indigenous people in prison, especially in the male cohort, that are Indigenous, much higher representation than they are in the general community. That's something that's symptomatic of a lot of our jails, better, frankly, in our junior jails as the youth training centres. So, but nevertheless, this is an initiative. We made a commitment to do it. We're doing it.
We're talking to the Attorney General, Vicky Chapman, about a proposal to ban criminals who are serving sentences over 3 years from voting in elections. If you have an opinion, 1300 222 891. Let's have a quick chat to the Chief Executive of Second Chances SA, Helen Glanville, who's been on the show before. Hi, Helen.
G'day, Jules.
What's your response to this proposal?
We come from a position of restoring hope, and part of the rehabilitation thinking would be to give people the opportunity to do good, to make right. Last time I understood, the average sentence for any prisoner was more than 6 years, so that actually would have impacted quite a lot of people. It's just that there's so many hurdles and obstructions for people to negotiate when they come out. It's hard to get any sense of respect or dignity, and to take one more thing away or take the opportunity away is just another form of rejection, as I would see it. I think that there needs to be an openness, or even if the opportunity was left for the prisoner to apply. Because if they've made good, they've done the crime, done the time, then there needs to be that acceptance that we're giving you a second chance, particularly to those who have found employment and are actually taxpaying citizens. For them to then know that they can't vote, it's almost saying you've got a life sentence.
Okay, well, let's go back to the Attorney General on that, Vicky Chapman. I mean, Vicky, should there be a pathway back to a criminal to maybe apply to have a vote after some sort of period of full employment and good community service?
Absolutely. And Helen and her organisation do a great job in assisting to rehabilitate people and obviously support them, and children included. So I have nothing but praise about her organisation. What's important here, though, is that there's a suspension, essentially, of the right to vote during this sort of conviction period. And what I'd say is this: if we want to give people hope who are in prison, if anything, we really need to look at what rehabilitation we give them in the prisons, and that's what I think shamefully been neglected in the time I've been in the Parliament over the past 16 years, and I'm very disappointed at that. We now have a situation where people can spend years in prison, have a little rehabilitation program, and then, you know, a little wonder when they eventually get out that they're really no better in their own state of mind when they started. So I don't disagree with Helen's comment about giving people hope, giving them some guidance, giving them some skills, all those things. Very happy to support that.
What would you like to change in the rehabilitation process, Attorney General?
Well, firstly, if you've got a situation where someone's convicted of assaults, domestic violence, things of that nature, there is no point, in my view, in giving them a rehabilitation program which, you know, might be an hour a week counselling. You know, there has to be a concentrated effort in relation to that. And time again, I've seen prisoners go through the system, had very little self-awareness of what they've done, you know, and that does require a fair bit of work. So that when they do come out, they are wanting to be, you know, good citizens. They do want to have good relationships with partners. They don't, you know, learn not to, you know, beat them up, have respect for others, etc. These are fundamental things which quite often for reasons of their own upbringing have been absent, and of which, you know, clearly there needs to be some change. So that's where I think we need to give the hope to prisoners. In the meantime, they must understand that their penalty is that they've had a serious crime, they forfeit the right to vote during that time.
We're getting some calls and texts through on this, 1-300-222-891. James has called in. Hi, James.
How you going?
Good. What would you like to say?
I was ringing up because I was thinking about it, and homosexuality used to be a criminal offence.
Yeah.
And say, not letting those people vote, we wouldn't have the laws that we have today, allowing them to get married, and, you know, it's not a criminal offence to be a homosexual anymore. And some things that are a criminal offence currently may not be a criminal offence in the future. For example, you're allowed to go down to the Bodlo and buy alcohol, but that used to be illegal. Maybe cannabis will become legal one day. Why should someone be not allowed to vote for the rest of their life when laws change by letting criminals vote? Because it's just something that we believe at the moment that we may not believe in the future. Like, everyone used to believe in God a long time ago, you know, Christian nation, and now we're, you know, kind of...
We've gone really big picture here now, James. Well, that's a worthy point. Let's throw it back to the Attorney General, Vicky Chapman, who is listening. Vicky, you know, laws do change, crimes do become not crimes over a period of time. Would there be wiggle room in this law?
Well, James makes another good point, and I'm happy to take that on board. I think in relation to social reforms, I think we'll always have those, I wouldn't say that it's only those, for example, in the gay community that change the vote, change the laws in relation to that. I mean, obviously, general people across the community expected that there would be some reform in this area, and it's happened. And for areas such as that, we have other laws which can actually remove the any convictions. So we've gone further than just simply saying in social reform that we will make something no longer illegal, but also have the capacity to wipe your slate clean. So there are other areas to deal with social reform.
Okay, let's go back to Helen Glanville, who's Chief Executive Officer of Second Chances SA. Helen, do you think, I mean, Vicky Chapman said that rehabilitation, there are more important issues, and, you know, to give prisoners hope than just the vote. Would you agree with that?
Well, there's certainly room for an increase in rehabilitation programs that equip people to cope with life. Some of the fundamentals that you and I might take for granted, like budgeting and reading and writing, they're just the elementaries that need to be focused on and right across the board. I do like Vicky's language of wiping the slate clean. At the end of the day, though, getting back to the voting thing, it's all about numbers. Mm. So what big difference does it really make to eliminate 3,000 votes a year? What does that matter, really, in the big scheme, in the big picture? Because really voting is about numbers. And I wouldn't have thought that even if it was down to 1,500. So I'd like to know what the numbers are per annum. And if they are around 1,500 per annum over 10 years, you know, then you've got a loss of 15,000 votes, no matter how many people put their hand up to reapply for the privilege. I would have thought, you know, I just don't like catching up with all the other states. I'm a bit of a South Australian that says, let's be different, let's be unique, let's be have reasons for giving people dignity and saying, you've done your time, and now as long as you're, you know, keeping up with everything else that's required of you and moving forward, we're not going to take away your right to vote, because we know all the other things in life that are taken from people when they're trying to make good in the community. And one of them, for example, is that people can't even get home insurance because they've had a criminal record. So there's a whole bunch of stuff. And I don't think it's a big issue.
All right. Thank you, Helen Glanville, for that perspective. We'll just end on Vicky Chapman on this. Vicky, you heard what Helen said, that we don't necessarily always have to fall in line with other states, and perhaps South Australia is good being unique in that regard. Do you agree?
Well, look, can I just, I'm a great states right person myself, but what I say is this, let's not confuse a cumulative 1,400, 1,500 per year. Of the current cohort in prison of about 3,000, it would affect today, if we had an election today, about 1,400. At the last election, you know, we've got less than a couple of hundred who actually even voted.
Mm.
Some applied for a postal vote, didn't exercise it, presumably through their voting slip in the bin, I'm not sure, but anyway, they didn't vote or vote legally. So we're talking about a very small cohort of people who even line up to say, well, okay, I'm in Yatala Ward B and I want to have a vote, and give me a voting paper. So, as I say, it's a very small cohort. And the person that might be there over a number of years will be the same person in that profile of 1,400 or 1,500 in any one year. So, sure, we're not talking a lot, but the public clearly expect that there is a punitive element to incarceration. And this is one of the penalties that they face. Now, sure, while they're there, let's upskill them so that they can become good contributing citizens when they get out. Absolutely agree with that.
Just quickly, Attorney General, while you're here, we've joined the National Redress Scheme. What does that mean for those affected by institutional abuse here in South Australia?
Well, under South Australian law, after the Mulligan Inquiry, we did a Royal Commission here, there's, you know, several hundred people have actually lined up and got up to 50,000 compensation. That's way less than what the National Royal Commission recently finished, said should happen. National scheme was proposed, set up a secretariat to process all these claims, you know, whether they're a church, you know, youth organisation, government institution, and we're the last state to sign up. Prior to the election, former government said, well, look, we've already paid these people. We're not, you know, coming to the table. We said we will come to the table if we win election. We did. I met the other attorneys in Sydney some weeks ago. We've been working on it ever since. We've agreed to sign up. Cabinet have approved $146 million to be placed out of the Victims of Crime Fund, which has got double that in, I might say, but nevertheless, it we allocated across to a special fund. So as people put in their applications, they can get their money quickly.
Okay.
There's still a number outstanding under the state scheme. So as soon as we're signed up, which we expect to happen in the next 10 days or so, when we sign up in Perth, then we will advise those people immediately, here's how you can transfer into this next one and be first in line.
And finally, Attorney General, State Cabinet met this morning. Did you ask the Premier about whether he supports Labor's bill re-keeping convicted paedophile Colin Humphreys in prison for longer?
Didn't need to, because we were already preparing our own and have been doing that for some weeks. Today it was approved, the final draft of it, 8 drafts I might say, but final draft to table in the Parliament. So, some weeks ago we determined, after about a week after we got into office, Mr Humphreys was granted a Supreme Court order to be released on licence. It's under appeal. The appeal was heard last week. We're waiting for a decision of the High Court, but in the meantime, we felt for this last month it was important to get this thing happening, and that's exactly what we've been doing. That's prepared, been approved, and I expect we'll be introducing it in the Parliament in the morning.
All right.
I've just seen the opposition's bill. That's turned up. in a second draft. And look, it's a bit amateur, but I accept the point that they need to actually, you know, we do need to get on with this issue. That's exactly what we have been doing, but we need to get it right.
Okay, Attorney General Vicky Chapman, thank you so much for joining me, as well as Helen Glanville, who's Chief Executive Officer of Second Chances SA.